Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and abandoned. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus said this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The word of the people, the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think I like this scripture because as a preacher, it reminds me that those metaphors and images that I like to use that sometimes fall apart, the more we talk about them, that Jesus dealt with that too, right? So parables that Jesus uses they're just metaphors, they're images. Jesus trying to describe this complicated idea or belief and using something that's common and understood. But the thing with metaphors is if you use them too much or you stick with one too much, sometimes it falls apart, right? So the best metaphors are short and simple and they get to the point, right? So who remembers Forrest Gump? Life is like a box of chocolates. That's a metaphor. That's a parable. Why is life like a box of chocolates? You never know what you're going to get. Brilliant. Simple. It speaks to all of our lives. That's wonderful. This metaphor of life being like a box of chocolates because you never know what you're going to get. Let's go deeper, right? We make the mistake of trying to dig in deeper. Well, how else might life be like a box of chocolates? Well, maybe you got to take the lid off of it. Let it out. Maybe sometimes the chocolates in there, you don't like all of them. Maybe sometimes they got yummy, gooey stuff inside. So you keep going and it kind of falls apart. We're less excited about this idea of life being like a box of chocolates if we go to it too hard. Jesus tells this beautiful parable about a sheep fold. About there's a sheep and the sheepfold, there's a gate, there's thieves and bandits, there's gatekeepers and a shepherd. All of these things, this is a great setup for a parable. Now, we don't know sheep too much in our day and time. But these people that Jesus would have been speaking to would have known sheep much more. I told the Sunday school class that I'm a little bit more familiar with sheep because when my mother was a teacher, they put her in a portable out on the side of school where the ag farm was. And next to it, there were a bunch of sheep. They kept sheep. I got to watch a sheep being born. When I was in middle school, it was quite traumatic. I'm still talking about it today. I won't give you all the details. I almost did, but I decided not to. It was traumatic. It was odd as a young child watching the sheep being born. So I have a little bit more familiarity with these sheep. But most of us, for the most part, we don't know sheep or what shepherds do or how they worked in that time. So we'll do a little bit of background and try to understand what Jesus is talking about. The sheepfold, that would have been a place of safety where many different shepherds would have brought their flocks, particularly at night, for protection. All the sheep could be safe in one spot at night when all the predators and the thieves and the bandits apparently are out. So they put them all in there together. Okay, that makes sense. The next day, the shepherd could go and call his own sheep. This is where the parable starts getting really awesome. Because when we imagine it being that Jesus as the good shepherd, this starts where we get to understand how beautiful this is. The shepherd can go to that gate and call for his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. I was thinking about Arkansas and their Razorbacks and the pigs. You know how you call a pig? Pig suey, right? And then those pigs, or the sheep in this particular case, will know your voice and come to you because they are your sheep. You are their shepherd. They'll leave all the other sheep that are there that aren't theirs in their flock and come and follow you. And that shepherd will lead them out. This, I think, is the biggest difference of shepherds as Jesus talks about them to herds people that I'm familiar with. Most of the image that I have of people working with animals is from Yellowstone, right? The cattle drivers, Wild West. Anytime we're down in Florida, Dad's got on Gunsmoke and Wagon Train and all those old westerns that you guys love, obviously. That's my picture of people working with herds of animals. They're driving the herd. They're forcing them forward from behind. They've got their whips, their horses, their team of people. They're driving and leading them to get them to market or wherever they need to go. The shepherd, as Jesus understands and uses in this passage, doesn't drive them forward from behind. Doesn't make loud noises and hollers. And the shepherd walks in front of them. Here, follow me. We need to go over there, but I'm going to go first. And you're going to walk and follow behind me. What a beautiful image. I kind of wish that I had this understanding of those shepherds. So Jesus, in this parable, as he describes himself being that good shepherd, all of us in a sheepfold from one place or another, hearing the voice of Christ. That's my shepherd. I'm going to go from this place where I am and follow him. He's going to lead me beside the still waters. My soul rejoices. Are you hearing Psalm 23 in there? Going to those green pastures, following Jesus. It's a beautiful parable and metaphor. Jesus also here talks about the strangers, the thieves, and the bandits that come and try to steal the sheep. Oh, beautiful. I can hear those other voices of thieves and bandits in my life today. I hear them on my phone when I open it up, when I see the news. All of these other voices trying to guide and pull me in other directions. Come, follow me. I will show you the way. That doesn't sound like Jesus. I better not follow that voice. Gatekeepers opening the gate for Jesus, allowing a sheep to follow him. But then, like all metaphors, Jesus takes a detour. He goes in a different direction. I mentioned with the kids, there are 7 I am statements in John. Do you remember the importance of those I am statements? When Moses is out in the desert and encounters the burning bush, where God's telling him to go, let my people go, lead them. Moses has all those excuses, the first of which is, who am I to say that you are? Who's sending me? What is your name? They're going to ask, what is your name? And God says, I am that I am. Tell the people, I am sent you. So when we read in this Gospel of John, Jesus saying, I am the gate. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the good shepherd. We are to imagine that scene of God speaking to Moses. I am the voice, the name of God. I am the gate. This is not just a simple one-off statement. This is Jesus using God's name. I am the gate. And this is where I get lost. Because that image of Jesus as a good shepherd is awesome. I said in the email, it's my mom's favorite story. The good shepherd leading us beside the still waters, taking us to those green pastures, laying us down in safety, us putting aside the voices of those bandits. That makes sense to my heart. I love it. And then Jesus has a gate, not just a one-off flippant comment. Jesus himself, I am the gate. So I had to think about gates. When was the last time you thought about a gate? Probably when you had to go through it. So as I was thinking about gates, the first gate I thought of was a gate at the house at Crawfordsville, Indiana. This was the most dangerous thing my dog ever encountered. Because the gate was on a corner that jutted into the yard. And the two dogs would chase each other around and try to cut the corner real quick. Well, the corner had a hinge of a gate that stuck out a little bit. That dog took the corner, and that hinge grabbed the side of him. Whoosh, peeled the skin right off. It was rough. It's in my head of a gate. Jesus is a gate. We got him fixed up. He was fine. The spots on his side were a little wonky after that, where they stitched him up sideways. The other gates I think of are those cattle gates. I thought you was a Yellowstone fan, right? Those cattle gates, the holes in the fence that are just wide open when you're coming up to them, but they've got those bars on the ground, and the cattle and their hooves can't walk across them. You can drive across them. You're pretty smart. You can figure your feet out. You can get across it, but it prevents the cattle from getting out. Madeline and I were taking our hunter safety course. They talk about getting permission to hunt on somebody's land. It's like, make sure if you come to a gate, you leave that gate how you found it. Don't let that farmer's sheep, cattle out. All of these gates, that I thought more and more, what is a gate? A gate is this place to keep things in or out. Well, that's the fence, really. A fence is a demarcation from what is inside to what is outside. The gate is a place where you can go in and out easily without having to jump the fence. In my experience, gates are usually closed. Those gates are acting like just another part of the fence, but sometimes they're open. What would it mean for Jesus to be the gate? What is inside that sheepfold? What is outside of it? The more we thought about these gates and these fences and the way that things are separated out, usually the place that's inside the fence and the gate is the good place. That's my yard. That's the gated community inside. That's the place you want to go. The heavenly gates. Heaven is inside of those gates. I want us to flip it around, though. I want us to imagine that as the sheep in this story, we're already inside that sheepfold. This is our lives. This is our day-to-day, everyday lives. We are already in the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold is just a temporary place that you put the sheep to keep them safe. The sheep can't live in the sheepfold, can they? There's not enough water, there's not enough pasture, not enough food and grass. They have to leave the sheepfold. We can't stay here. Our lives aren't full and enough. Jesus, as that gate, allows us to go out and live into the kingdom of God. All throughout the scriptures and the other places that Jesus is guiding and leading, he says, come follow me. To those fishermen, he says, come follow me to the tax collector. Follow me. The place that you are at isn't it. We're going to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to show you how to get there. Jesus, as the gate, allows us to leave this place that we're at, the sheepfold that we're stuck in, and go out into green pastures. Go out into the kingdom of heaven. This gate that Jesus claims to be and represents isn't the gate to heaven. It's the gate into the kingdom of heaven from our lives that we're already in. Now, those bandits and those thieves, they still come in the night. They still try to grab us from the sheepfold. Is your fence around the sheepfold a barbed wire fence? Or is it stone? Stone. I kind of imagine the bandit like scooting under the barbed wire fence just then, throwing us over. Those bandits still call to us. Those stranger voices still pull us in different directions. They still try to snatch us up over the fence to steal us away, to kill and to destroy, Jesus says. But we don't follow those bandits and those thieves and those strangers. We listen for Christ's voice, to follow him through his gate into the world. There's still snags and dangers out there, but where Christ leads us is to the kingdom of heaven. It's to those green pastures and those still waters that we get to lie down beside. Later in this chapter, Jesus will say that there are other sheep that do not belong to his flock, but he brings us together anyways. We'll meet other sheep out there and invite them to come along and follow us as well. This gate that Jesus represents opens up to the kingdom of heaven. If we hear his voice, listen for it, and follow him to those green pastures. Amen.